Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we consider the matter of prayer and the condition of the heart. But first, let's pray. Almighty God, would you please guide us by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 1 to 14, and I'm reading from the NIV. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?' To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down upon everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Here are two parables that Jesus told about prayer. Generally, parables are simple, relatable stories about everyday life experiences or issues of the day that people were familiar with, and Jesus used them to convey a moral or spiritual lesson, often about the kingdom of God. In the parables in our reading, we come to understand the heart of God as it relates to prayer. Hopefully, we'll see that Jesus did not make prayer about following a formula or a specific routine in order for the Lord to hear and answer. However, he was and still is quite concerned with the condition of our hearts at all times, and especially when it comes to prayer. From our text then, Jesus highlights two conditions of the heart that are essential as we approach God in prayer. Each are stated as the reason why the parable was shared. The first condition of the heart is faith. We are told that Jesus wanted his followers to always pray and not give up, to be persistent. And persistence here is a product of faith. The parable is about a widow who seeks justice from a judge, a man who is corrupt and godless, and sees himself as untouchable since he fears no one, including God. The disciples could relate to this all too familiar story, as can we in our own country. The question we also ask is, how can we get justice from unjust judges? The widow achieves this by being persistent, repeatedly coming and crying out for justice against her adversaries. Jesus added that the judge refused at first to help her, leading some to speculate that he was expecting a bribe, also not uncommon in their day. Finally, the judge did act, not because he was determined to uphold the law, but because he was determined to be free from this thorn in his side and any further disturbances. He said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Here is the lesson. If an unjust and uncaring human being will act because of persistence, God will surely act, only he does so for very different reasons. First, God cares about justice and what happens in our lives. Second, he does not act out of frustration at our persistence in crying out to him. Instead, he acts in our lives because he loves us and keeps covenant with us. Yet persistence alone does not necessarily move God. Faith does. As mentioned earlier, persistence in prayer is the proof of faith, not a lack of faith. And in verse 8, Jesus connects persistence with faith when he said, However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That is, will we be continually praying, seeking the Father's face, or will we have abandoned all hope? God will surely act as we constantly approach him with hearts heavy with prayer requests. So be persistent and trust that God hears and answers our prayers. Persistence is required because we cannot know God's purposes and timing as it relates to his rule and reign, especially the return of Christ. We pray with persistence because our hope is that God will provide justice to deal with every form of wrong that has been carried out against his people and his creation. The second condition of the heart with regard to prayer is that when we approach God, we should always approach him empty-handed. Because according to our reading, Jesus was aware that there were some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. To approach God empty-handed is to come with a deep awareness that we are undeserving of God's goodness. This point comes through very clearly in the second parable as Jesus contrasts a Pharisee with a tax collector, a spiritual leader with someone who belonged to an especially despised and hated class in their society. But it's a setup. Because the natural inclination of the disciples was to view the Pharisee as the one in right standing with God because of his position in their world. It was in the term Pharisee, which meant separated one. They were separated to God's work and showed this by their careful adherence to religious law, rules about purity, and the Sabbath. Those present were no doubt shocked when Jesus pronounced that the despised tax collector, rather than the Pharisee, would be the one justified and declared in right standing with God. For this simple reason, the Pharisee used other people as his standard for measuring righteousness. His arrogance and lack of Bible-based self-awareness led him to view himself as better than them, and so he informs God, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. As Jesus paints the picture, the Pharisee is a man who lacked the ability to be introspective in the light of Scripture and reflect critically on his own behavior, recognize his flaws, as well as take responsibility for his conduct. On the other hand, the tax collector used God as his standard for measuring righteousness. He knew that all he could do was to throw himself on the mercy of God for forgiveness. He is acutely aware of his own need for God. His prayer is about himself, yes, but from a whole different perspective. He knows that he is a sinner in need of God's mercy, not because he's a tax collector, but because he is a human being. As we draw to a close then, let's be persistent in our prayers with God. It won't annoy him, nor will he ignore us. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 to 11, Hannah continued to plead with the Lord for a son, and God heard her, even though she had been barren for years. In Luke chapter 1, it would appear that over the years, Zacharias and his wife had been praying for a child. Finally, in verse 13, when they are past the age of childbearing, the angel Gabriel brings the news that God had heard their prayers and now they were going to have a son, who would be John the Baptist. Again, in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 39, it is said that Anna, who was a prophetess at the age of 84, was persistently praying night and day for the redemption of Jerusalem. We persist as an act of faith. We persist because while Scripture gives us some certainty about the mind of God, at the same time, we cannot be absolutely sure of God's timing or if what we're praying for will indeed come to pass. With regard to approaching God in prayer, it is always healthy to be aware of the fact that we are undeserving of His goodness, and aware that as we stand before Him, He looks at His Son Jesus, His atoning work on the cross, and then turns to us and pardons us in salvation and daily. Here is part of an article in our November St. Kieran's Chronicle titled Faith and Repentance in the Order of Salvation. It is helpful in understanding our fundamental position before God with regard to salvation and as a child of God. The subheading is A Grace That Seeks the Helpless. It says, and I quote, "Let's begin with a foundational truth. We do not forsake sin in order to come to Christ. Rather, we come to Christ because we cannot forsake sin apart from Him. We don't stand before the Lord and say, 'I have cleaned myself up, I've abandoned my old ways, now please accept me.' That's the logic of legalism, not grace. Instead, the true cry of the gospel-awakened heart is this: Lord, I have sinned greatly, and I am powerless to change. Save me from sin's guilt and its power." And that's exactly the kind of cry Jesus came to answer. As He Himself said, those who are well, that is, in their own arrogant opinion, have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, again, those who think they are, but sinners. This is from Mark chapter 2, verse 17. That is why He is called the Savior, not of the worthy, but of the helpless. End quote. And so may God enable us, in the light of Scripture, to be self-aware, to always see ourselves clearly and objectively, so that we may recognize not only our strengths, but our weaknesses and failings as well. When we do, God comes to the rescue. See what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 16 says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. True prayer is not a technique nor a performance, but a relationship. God wants to fine-tune our hearts as we pray. He does it when we approach Him, praying persistently in faith and with a deep sense of humility before Him. When we approach God in this way, we are able to pray with more focus, empathize with others in their struggle as we pray for them. Also, withhold unfair and biased judgments so that we can pray with grace. May God help us with all our praying each day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You Yourself reminded us through Your Scriptures that all our religious practices are not worth anything if we use them to try bend You our way, which will not happen. God, may we come to You in humility and repentance, ready to encounter You in love and to turn Your way. Help us to pray in faith and persistence. Help us to walk humbly before You always. In Jesus' name, Amen. And God bless you.